to France, right? And began a ministry there. It's called the King's Church. Powerful apostle of the Lord. Has many sons in the Lord. Travels around the world, recently to Sri Lanka, doing some open-air meetings, seeing some real miracles happening. He says he's going to be in the States. And I said, well, you can't come to the States if you don't preach. So we're delighted tonight to host Pastor Bill Rice. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I know you just sat down, but, you know, we need the exercise anyway. I think it would be appropriate. Let's get up on our feet and give him a hearty Church on the North Coast welcome. Pastor Bill Rice. Come on, Pastor.
Thank you for your warm welcome. I hope you can understand my accent. But, do you remember Paul Hubbard? Pastor Paul Hubbard? Well, he's a northerner. Yeah? I'm a southerner. So you can probably understand him and not me, but never mind. Right. Now, I've got my computer here not to pose or to impress you. But my notes are on it. So just start that up. Well, God's good. I love the presence of God. God's here. You know, if I don't open my mouth, it's enough because we've met Jesus already. The Holy Spirit's here. You know, I am being impacted by a verse, a famous verse in Isaiah 60, which is the first verse. I'm not going to preach in it, but I want to read it out because it's a blessing. And it says there, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, that's a messianic passage, and it refers to the Messiah. It refers to the Messiah. Isaiah sort of in his spirit knew that something bigger was on the horizon. It was quite a long way off. But I believe that anything to do with Jesus has to do with me. Amen? And it has to do with you. And it has to do with his community. And a lot of the messianic passages that Isaiah received from God had to do with Israel. It had to do with a corporate people, God's anointed people. And I believe that the body of Christ, the church, is God's anointed people. So when Isaiah spoke about the anointing, and the next chapter's even heavier or better, he's talking about us. Now, we're called Christians, aren't we? There's a passage in Acts chapter 11 where they were called Christians for the first time, and I think that the word Christian is not a good word always, is it, in the world that we live in? We don't use it that much. I shudder at what goes on in the name of Christians. But I like the word, because a Christian is a little Christ. And a Christian, that means that he's a little anointed one. And so we have the anointing that the Messiah has. That's the key, you know. That's the day that we live in. We live in the day of the anointing. We can't live in the past. We can't hope for revival like we've seen in the past and like our forefathers have seen in the past. We're alive today. And it's God's time today. God's doing a new thing. And he's not doing an old thing, as wonderful as some of the old things have been. But the age that we live, the epoch that we live, the Kairos moment has never been lived before, because it's brand new. And we better make sure that we don't miss it. I was listening to somebody preach a few weeks ago, and he said that every time God did something new, the church lost the old to get the new. And I believe that we're living in a day and an age where we're losing things from the past, good things perhaps. I'm not just talking about bad things, but we need to make space for the freshness of what God is doing today. And it isn't just to bless us. It's to get us It's to get us in a position where we can be a blessing to our city and our country and the nations of the earth. Such is the depth and the power and the wholeness of what God is doing in these days. And it isn't just restricted to one name, big name ministers and preachers that travel the world. It's a body word. It's every single member of the body of Christ is integral, is absolutely necessary for what God is wanting to do. Jesus had the most fantastic anointing as the Messiah. And it was demonstrated, it was manifest. But his strategy wasn't just to preach, teach, and heal the sick, but it was to equip men and women so that they could pick up the baton and run with it. And I think that that's the same. And I believe it's the same for us. Every single one of us, from your pastor upwards or downwards, every one of us is just integral and really sort of strategic in what God is doing in the day that we live in. Hallelujah. So you live in Cleveland, okay? And the anointing is upon you to turn Cleveland upside down and inside out, together with the rest of the body of Christ, which is here as well. And that's no mean challenge for God, is it? It might be for us, but it isn't for a God. When just walking around your building this evening for the first time and just being, I don't know, just caught up with the beauty of it, the creative beauty of the place, and the fact that it isn't religious. And it's just a place where people want to be. I've never been here before, but I'm happy I'm here this evening. It feels good. I sense it's good. There's life here. You're here. Jesus is here. And as wonderful as it is, man, we're going to need some big buildings to accommodate what God's doing in these days. I was saying to your pastor earlier on that we should rejoice at what's going on inside our nations. And in Western Europe, it's the same as North America. That sort of dream of, well, not that dream, that materialistic center to all that people live for and hope for seems to have evaporated in a year or two. You know, and I know it's not a totally black picture, but there's the things that we used to be able to do like this, we can't do. There isn't money to borrow like there used to be. And some people are despairing. But we don't need to despair because we're Christians. Because we're believers. We're followers of Jesus Christ. But I was saying that this is the most exciting time in my life. And don't guess my age, but I'm not as young as you. Because of what's going on. So not only do we have nations sort of fighting against each other, not only do we have sort of earthquakes and tsunamis going on, and you don't forget the tsunami which hit Sri Lanka and Indonesia and Thailand only fought less than 5 years ago, and the two earthquakes which have hit New Zealand recently, and then what's happening in North Africa, man, things are going on, aren't they? And this scripture, arise, shine, for your light has come. The darker it gets, the brighter we're going to shine. The more people struggle, the more open they're going to be to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only are we going to preach it, we're going to live it. Because they don't understand a lot of what we represent, I don't believe. So it is exciting. I'm excited. I'm excited to be with you here this evening as well. Right now, that's just came. So what I want to do, I want to read to you from Luke chapter 19. And now you are really going to recognize this passage, because it's about our friend Zacchaeus. Have you heard of him? Well, he's a little tax collector, little Jewish tax collector. And I know we know the story. Most of us know the story. Don't worry about knowing the story. Don't worry about being familiar with it. But there's some stuff here that we need to go through again. So I'll read it to you once I find it. Where is it? Luke chapter 19, 10 verses. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Oh, hallelujah. Didn't get very far, did I? Jesus is passing through Cleveland. Jesus is passing through this building this evening. You're not here attending a meeting. You're here to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he's here by his Spirit. He's here. Can you imagine what that must mean? So Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And I believe that taking it further, he's out there passing through this place. He's around the city. He's doing things. He's got a heart for people. Wherever there are people, you'll find Jesus there. And there are lots of people that live in this area. So Jesus is here by his Spirit, isn't he? Got to make sure we don't miss him when he passes through. Now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. I don't know where you have these things in this country, but I got to remember the name of what I'm talking about now as well. But at Christmas, we have these funny plays for children, and people get dressed up. I can't think of the name. And you get booing and hissing in them. So you have these characters, and they're good characters and they're bad characters, and the audience participates. And when there's a good customer, they sort of cheer. And when there's a bad character, they hiss and they boo. Psss, boo. So Zacchaeus, you go, sss, boo. He's a tax collector. But he was very unpopular. Now, we have tax collectors in our country, don't we? Your country and our country. And we love them, don't we? So come on, be true, be honest. We love paying taxes. No, we don't. We try and pay as less tax as we need to. But here, it was a big deal because in Palestine at this time, this Jewish tax collector worked for the Romans. And if you're a Jew and you're God's people in the Holy Land in a special place and you live under an oppressive Roman government, it's bad news. And when those of your kind work for this oppressive regime, and then on the side they extort and they make money on the side, which they put in their pockets, they are not loved. Okay, you got the picture. And he was a chief tax collector. He wasn't only a tax collector. He was a chief. So his friends were other tax collectors. He didn't have any other friends. But it says there that he was rich. Now, everybody that I seem to come across wants to be rich. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We're rich in Christ, aren't we? God's good. But he was rich because he stole money from the people. So he was rich and miserable. Rich and lonely. There are lots of people in Cleveland that are rich, but they're not happy. And they're scared of losing their money. And it's scary, isn't it, having your money invested in banks and places nowadays, because you can lose it in the blink of an eye, can't you? Anyway, we won't go down that track. But here we see in verse 3, and it says here, he sought to see Jesus. He was a seeker. I hope that's why you're here this evening. Because you're a seeker of Jesus Christ. Because you're after his presence. And his presence was here this evening. Is here this evening, not was here. Ooh, I repent. So he sought to see Jesus. My Bible says that if you seek, you shall find. Yeah? If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me, Scripture says. Okay, now I don't know. I don't think Americans have this problem. But us English, us British, are very passive people. I'm half Italian, so I'm okay. You can tell I'm not passive, can't you? Okay? But he was a seeker. And seekers put themselves out, don't they? They decide that what they're seeking, they're going to have. And that's what they go for. Amen? Do you want Jesus this evening? Yeah. You want to meet with the living Jesus? But this Jewish tax collector, unloved, isolated, heard about Jesus. And he heard that Jesus was in town. And so he put himself out to see him. Now, I don't know why you're... I'll ask you the question, why are you here this evening? You like coming here. It's a good church, good place. Coffee's good. God always turns up. We enjoy ourselves. Pastor preaches great. The other guys preach great as well. Okay. But some of you may be sizing out the joint. Is that American? Yeah. Well, what you speak on the films, we speak now as well. So we understand the language. And you're just wondering, what is this all about? Why are my friends going here? You know, when I got saved because some of my friends, I met some people who were Christians and they looked normal and they were happy and they weren't drinking. And that annoyed me. That annoyed me. I needed to find out why. And I got saved. It's a bit like this. This is Zacchaeus. It's a little bit like that. Well, I've heard about this Jesus. He's in town, so we'll look him out. So he sought him out. You won't find God unless you seek him with all your heart. You're in the right place tonight because he's here. And if you hang in, you get into a place, position yourself, you'll see him. In fact, it's his job to reveal himself to you, so that takes the pressure off. You're here, he's here, open your heart. And be chilled about it because God's good. You don't need to be frightened of God. You can be frightened of religious people, and fanatical Christians as well might sort of scare the pants off you a bit. But you don't need to worry about Jesus because he's a gentleman, he's a father, he's a lover, he's for you, he made you, he knows you better than yourself. He's the master, he's in charge, he's the boss. He's it. He sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. I won't preach on how short he was. Okay, but he had a problem. It was a big crowd and he was short. He had short legs. Okay, so that could have been it. Oh, well, the crowd's too big. I'm very short. I won't be able to see him. Maybe, so why bother? So he could have been discouraged. He could have, well, you know, and that's what it's like, you know. There are things going on that perhaps you don't understand. Church, Christians, what evolution, what people say on the television. You know, some of the extreme Christians that you come against. There's plenty of stuff to stop the seeking. But it didn't put this man off because he decided to climb a tree. So what's a rich tax collector doing up a tree? But he was up a tree because he was determined to see Jesus. And if you're that determined and you're not put off, seek and you will find. And if you're a Christian, okay, and you're living with disappointment, or you're wondering why your prayers aren't answered, or why this happened, or whether that happened, still seek him, because he's never a disappointment. When things go wrong, we can meet God in those times. Do you know that? James says, count it all joy when you enter various trials, for the testing of your faith, which is more precious than gold. Count it all joy. Isn't that a tough verse, isn't it? That's the last thing I want to do when I'm going through it and things seem to be falling apart. But that's the time where your faith's going to increase. You know, when you come to the end of yourself, that's when God takes over. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. So he was a bright, rich, short-legged tax collector because he worked out where he would see Jesus. He worked out a place, a tree, that if he climbed it, he would get a good view of Jesus. Okay, he had a bit of savvy. And we need a bit of that. Just position yourself. Now, how can I seek God? What must I do? Read the Bible. Come to church. Go for a walk by yourself and open your heart up to God. Say, God, if you're there, reveal yourself. Just do something. Find a good Christian TV program. Seek and you'll find. Get advice. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. See? Seek and you shall find. You just use your imaginations a bit. Little man, he's probably not the only person up a tree. Big crowd. Jesus is the center of attention. They're just waiting for him to perform a miracle or heal the sick or do something, cast out some demons. So it's a big crowd. That's what we need, isn't it? That anointing, that's what brings the people in. Huh? When you know God's going to do something like that. But anyway, another subject. But Jesus stops. Now, you know, there isn't. I'll pretend that's a tree. So he's sort of walking along like this. And there's this tree. And he stops and looks up. Of all the trees in Jericho, he stops at this one where Zacchaeus is. There's another lesson, isn't it? You might think, well, you know, God's not interested in me. Hey, who am I? I'm nobody. Nobody cares about me. I've got short legs, you know, and I haven't done anything, and I'm very ordinary, and even as a Christian, I haven't done that good. My performance isn't that good. But you know what Jesus does tonight? He walks up to you. You might not be up a tree, you're in a seat. And he stops and he looks at you. You're of great interest and value to him. Do you know that? And how can I say that? I can say that because he died on the cross for you. He laid down his life for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he values you. You may not value yourself. Your friends and your family may not even value you. Or you might imagine that they don't value you. But he values you. Every hair of your head is numbered if you've got any left. I've still got a few. He loves you. He's for you. You're unique. You're special. There's only one of you. He made you. He put you in your mother's womb. It's not by chance were you made, despite what the clever people at school and on the television say. You're unique. There's only one of you. There was only one of Zacchaeus. And even though he was one of the hated tax collectors, he was never hated by God because God made him. And there are people who are sitting in this auditorium who don't know yet, who are out there, you know, and they made a shambles, but it may not just be they've made a shambles of their life, but they've just beaten themselves up inside because people have abused them and said negative things about them all their life, and they've given up and they're on this, that, and the other. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ loves them. And he's the one, you know, who by his love can transform them inside out, outside in. Just like Zacchaeus. So when he came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Okay? God sees you tonight. God sees your family. God sees your children. God sees everybody. He sees you. You might think, oh, that's a bit scary. I don't know if I want him to see me. And he doesn't just see what I see, does he? He sees you. You don't know me. I think I do, but he does. So he looks at the heart. He knows the real me, the real you. And you can't hide from God. You can hide from me. You can hide from your wife or your husband or your children, but you can't hide anything from God because he sees you. He knows the motivation. He knows how you feel. We're good at acting out, pretending, aren't we? But you don't need to try with God because he sees the real you. And he saw the real Zacchaeus. And he saw a man who was a tax collector with few friends and lots of money, but it came the wrong way because he embezzled. And he saw him. So he looked at him, and he saw him, and he said to him, oh, quite a good sermon there, isn't it? Hey? And he spoke to him. I believe that God's got things to say to you this evening. In fact, I'll be bold and say, God's already said a few things. For God's got lots to say. Do you know that? You ever read the Bible from cover to cover? It's a big book. It takes a long time to read it from cover to cover, doesn't it? So he has a lot to say in the book. But the Holy Spirit is still saying lots of things. Do you know, one of the things that I hear the prophets saying, this isn't too heavy and too sort of wonderful, but I got it from another guy, another one of my friends, and he said that he's read in a number of books that people are saying, that men of God, women of God are saying, read the red letters in the Bible. Isn't that strange? Have you heard people say that? Get back to the words of Jesus. Read the words of Jesus. Learn the words of Jesus. Memorize the words of Jesus. Speak the words of Jesus. Yeah, but what about the rest? Yeah, the rest is good. But what Jesus said is really good as well. Some of you were a bit worried then, weren't you? So he said to him, I won't tell you what he said to him. Use your imaginations again. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is, you know, the King of the Jews. I mean, he's thrown everybody by stopping at this tree and talking to this tax collector. So half of the religious crowd, they're getting excited. They're getting upset. You're not supposed to talk to him. You're supposed to talk to us. He's a tax collector. Surely you know who he is. That's what you say about all the people that Jesus ministered to. You know who she is, don't you? Well, she's got a dodgy past. She's one of them. Jesus specialized in people like that. He said that it isn't the righteous that need a doctor. It's the unrighteous that need a doctor, need a physician. Put your hands up if that's you. See which hand went up first. My hand went up first. It's the grace of God, isn't it, that we're here? Praise God. We're not holier than anybody else, are we? I'm not. Well, I am, but I'm not. He's made us holy, but we're not holy. We're certainly not better than anybody else. It's the grace of God. So this is a bit strange. So all the crowd, you know, Jesus is throwing the people. He always does things that people least expect him to do, doesn't he? He ministers to people that they least expect him to minister to. He broke the status quo. He went against the flow. Do you realize that Jesus was radical? He didn't say things to please people. He spoke the truth. Hopefully that did please some people. But the religious people, it did not help them at all. That's a big subject, isn't it? We have plenty of religious people in our churches that are going to get offended by what Jesus is doing and saying. Do you know that? If we're serious about following Jesus and living the Jesus way, then the religious people will get upset. Now you're glad I came, aren't you? Just so I could say that. But as you're not religious, you're okay. But if there's any little bit of religion in you, any little bit of legalism, any bit of, you know, I'm better than he or she, you will get upset because it's not going to be a happy time. Because God wants to blow all religion out of the church, and he wants to make us happy and fulfilled, and not religious, but intimate with Jesus Christ and with each other. That's part of the new, isn't it? So what did he say to him? Zacchaeus? Oh, blow me down. He'd never met him, but he knew his name. He's good at this game. He's good at this. You know, he knows things. You know, he knew a lot of people's names. Who was the guy? Who was the one in John chapter 1? Nathaniel. Yeah, Nathaniel. I've got a Nathan at home, actually, so I should remember that name. Nathaniel. He knew Nathaniel, didn't he? He knew where he was and what he was doing before he'd met him. And the woman at the well, he knew that she had five husbands. Scary, isn't it, eh? Well, you shouldn't be surprised, though. We are talking about God. God knows everything, doesn't he? He's omniscient. For those of you that really want to learn tonight, he's omniscient. Okay? He's omnipresent. And he's an omnipotent. Anybody else got any other omnis? No? So he knows everything. So he knows Zacchaeus. He knew Zacchaeus before he was born. Unlike me or you. So he knew his name. Oh, I just love it, don't you? Who knows your name this evening? He does. He knows everything about you. Even if you're not saved here this evening yet, he knows you and loves you the same as anybody else here this evening. He knows your name. We know his name, but he knows our name. Zacchaeus, hurry up, make haste, and come down. For today I must stay at your house. Oh. I'll paraphrase it. Hello, Zacchaeus, how you doing? Yeah, come on, come down from that tree. Would it be okay if I come and stayed at yours tonight? Can I sleep on your couch? I've got 11 other guys with me as well, but they're fine somewhere to live because they're men of faith, women of faith. But that's what it was like, wasn't it? Hi, Zacchaeus. Or do you think he used a religious sort of way of talking to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, I am Jesus. He didn't say that, did he? See, he was in charge. He's in charge. So Zacchaeus wanted to have a little look. He wanted to see Jesus. But Jesus had a bigger agenda, didn't he? Hey? He knew that Zacchaeus was going to be up that tree. He knows that you're here tonight. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows everything. Don't hide him. Tell him. And he sympathizes with you. Do you know that? He's for you. He's not against you. He's for you. You might be against yourself, but he's for you. People might be against you, but he's for you. If God be for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. As long as we're on the right side, we're going to win. Hey? We had a few battles, a few skirmishes. Sometimes we think we've lost, but we don't lose because we're part of Jesus, and he never loses. Read the end of the book. I know you've heard this. Read the end of the book. He wins. Okay? If you're having a hard time, read Revelation. And find out who wins, and it isn't the devil. The devil doesn't read Revelation very often. It gives him nightmares because it tells him where he's going, and it isn't pretty reading. I absolutely love this. Do you know that? Because Jesus asked him to come down from the tree, and Jesus wanted to go to his house. Isn't that beautiful? It's not come to the synagogue or the temple. Come to Jerusalem. Come to the crusade. I'm baptizing. I'm healing next week. No, I want to come to your house. And what does Jesus want to do this evening? Come to your house. I don't know if I want Jesus to come to my house, some of you might say. Chill. Just chill. He isn't going to go to Zacchaeus' house with a list of 25 things he's got to put right. That's how we would do it. That's how we would deal with it. But Jesus didn't have a list. He just wanted to go and be with him. And what did Zacchaeus do? Do I get this right? Sometimes I get this wrong. Did he get his friends? Don't know whether it says it there. But in other cases, I think it's Matthew, yeah, the Levi. Remember when he called the tax collector to be one of his followers? He brought his friends. You know, Jesus was friendly. He would go to this sinner's house and have a meal with him. And he would sleep with him. He'd stay overnight. Now, he wasn't supposed to do that because he was Jewish. And Zacchaeus, even though he was a Jew, was a bad Jew. Now, it's easy to deal with Zacchaeus because he's just being really friendly. But when you see what he let some of the women of ill repute do to him, that would stretch all of us, wouldn't it? Mary Magdalene, the Marys, well, those sort of accounts of tears and wiping his feet with their hair and breaking boxes of alabaster and smearing it over his feet and then wiping with the hair. I mean, that's all pretty extreme stuff, isn't it? But he allowed them to do it. He allowed them to worship him. You know, he befriended these evil women, these sinful women. Man, that's the spirit we need in the church. I need a bit of water. I'm laboring this a bit because it's really important. Jesus went to his house. He ate with publicans and sinners. We've got to go to where our friends are. Yeah? We've got to hang out with them. I don't mean that's the only thing we do, but we've got to go where they are. We not just expect them to come where we are. He went where they were. He went to his house. Now, I don't know what Americans are like, but English people aren't good at going to strangers' houses and sleeping there and having meals with people they've never met before in their lives. See, the spirit, this is different. It's a different spirit. If we're not friendly, they won't come. If we dictate the terms, they still won't come. But if we go halfway, if we go to where they are, they will come. Verse 6, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There's a good scripture to get saved on this evening, isn't it? Huh? The invitation. I'm coming to your house. Well, it's a command, really, isn't it? Oh, I'm coming to your house. So he's down in a hurry. And he received him joyfully. That's all it is, really, you know. How do you get saved? You receive Jesus joyfully into your life. You take him to your house. Amen. And who lives at your house? Your wife and your children. Your family and your friends. God, Jesus is into homes. He's hit into families. That word, receive, is not a passive word. It's an active word. It isn't, well, here you are. Here's a present. If you're going to receive a present from Jesus, you have to take it. You have to grab it. You have to take the paper off and see what's inside and enjoy it. And this is what this word means. Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully, and Jesus took it, didn't he? He said, well, he went with him. So you can't be passive tonight. If you're going to receive Jesus, you've got to say, thank you, Lord, and embrace him totally. Invite him into your house, into your life. You won't embarrass him. The only people that get embarrassed are us. Now, so when they saw it, now this is where you go, boo, hiss, boo. Who are we talking about? Who are the they? Scribes and the Pharisees. So when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. That's why he came. That's why I came. That's the whole point of it. Wake up. I didn't come for you. You don't need me. You're okay. You're happy with your religion. You don't want me. In fact, they were about to kill him. It was religious people that crucified Jesus, wasn't it? Again, if you read the Gospels, that's the pattern, isn't it? That's the pattern. They were looking all the time, seeing whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Didn't like him forgiving people's sins. How could he forgive sins? All the time. And did he give in to it? No. Did he heal on the Sabbath? Yes. Did he say, your sins are forgiven you? Yes. Or take up your bed and walk? Yes. And that's, and brothers and sisters, you know, we have not got to be intimidated by this religious, pharisaical, judgmental, legalistic spirit. It's got to be broken because it stops people coming in. We have the same spirit that Jesus has. Huh? Because when he was baptized, he received the spirit. Because he was a man. He was God. He was a God man, but he needed the anointing. Okay, so we've got the same spirit. We've received the Holy Spirit. So that spirit doesn't like religious spirits. Doesn't like subtractors. It's an adding spirit. It's an accepting spirit. Their spirit was a spirit of rejection. This is a sinner, a tax collector. We hate this man. We don't befriend him, don't accept him. Why are you befriending him and loving him, accepting him and going to his house? Good question. That's the model. And now let's see what happens in verse 8. Okay. Nothing is said. This is a Jew. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord. You need the Holy Ghost to say that for a start, don't you? Now, you can't call Jesus Lord unless it's the Holy Spirit, can you? Look, Lord. Something's happened. He's got saved. What do you think? Think he's got saved? Or he's getting saved? I give half of my goods to the poor. He's rich. That's a lot. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, which means that's just a confession he had. So all those that I've defrauded, told lies to, taken too much money, I'm going to restore four times. So he must be a Jew, otherwise he wouldn't understand that, would he? So he makes restitution. You hear too many sermons on this subject of restitution. So, obviously, doesn't say he repented. There's another sermon I've got on what that's all about. We won't go there. But the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, is dealing with this man. Dealt with this man. What we would do is, well, sit down, Zacchaeus. If you're really interested in knowing me, then you know all that stuff that you've stolen where you've got to do something about it. Okay? And by the way, you're so rich, give half of your money away. Nobody's told him to do that. This is the fruit of conversion, salvation. Nobody's told him. He's got it in God to do it. Well, you don't have to do the Holy Spirit's job. That's his job. Oh, God's up to it. He's a big boy, God. Don't quote me on saying that. It's just our vernacular. Okay, I'm in America. But he knows what he's doing. God's up to being God. You don't have to be God. You don't have to do his job. Let him do his job. Just do what he tells you to do. Go, befriend, share, Bring the presence of God to these people that need it. And the Holy Spirit will convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And this is what's happening. You say, well, the Holy Spirit hasn't been given. No, he hasn't been given on the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit is still around, isn't he? Jesus was anointed of the Spirit. And so we get conversion. We get the fruits of conversion here. I think this is exciting. This does take the pressure off, doesn't it? Okay, so we don't have to have lists for people to get them saved. We just need to love them and share Jesus and just be ourselves and not try and tell them what to do or what not to do. That's God's job. And now we have the pronouncement saying, this is what Luke is trying to say. This is the powerful bit. And Jesus said to him, words of Jesus, today salvation has come to this house. Jesus is saying, now, this is red letters, all right, red letters. Today, when's the day of salvation? Today, you saved yet? Today is the day of salvation. Because Jesus is here. Don't take it from me. I believe the Holy Spirit's here. And he would say, today, now's your day. Now's the time to get saved. Now's the time to receive Jesus into your lives joyfully. Take him home tonight to your house. What a difference Jesus makes, eh? But today's salvation has come to this house. Because we could have said salvation has come to Zacchaeus. No, this house, what's got into houses, homes, families. Don't know whether he was married. We're not told. But he had a house. Because he was wealthy. Today's salvation has come to this house. Because he also is a son of Abraham. Now that would have offended the scribes and Pharisees. Because he was Jewish. And all Jews are sons of Abraham. But they're not. Now he's responding. He's got faith. He's believed. Abraham's the father of faith, isn't he? He's the model of faith. He was a believer. God had, he was a friend of God. What God said, he accepted and worked and acted upon it. And now Zacchaeus is doing the same thing. So he's a son of Abraham. He's a believer. Then the last verse. For the Son of Man, another big subject, haven't got time. Why is he called the Son of Man? Well, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, what a text. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save. Not just to seek, but to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus was lost. There are millions of people out there that are lost. And Jesus came down here, took the form of a servant, became a man for 33 years to seek and to save the lost. And he took 12 men plus the ladies and he equipped them to do the same thing after he'd gone. And that's our commission, isn't it? Yeah? To seek and to save the lost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of the nations. Huh? Good? Yeah? He sends us, but we don't go by ourselves. He comes with us. Huh? We're going with him. He's the seeker and the saver of the lost. Now, I haven't used my computer yet, but I'm going to now. So just bear with me as I switch it on again. I've got a definition of salvation here, and I don't want to mess it up. So we've got these two words here, salvation and save. One's a verb, one's a noun. Salvation. What is salvation? What does it mean to save? Well, you know, don't you? Anyway, I'm just going to help you. It says salvation. Now, if you study Greek, there are seven facets to a Greek word, which are usually covered by one English word. Okay, so it means more than one meaning. It's got seven sides to it. So this, the word soteria, it means this. It means deliverance. I always think that Moses was the great deliverer. The biggest. He delivered a whole nation from the pharaohs. Deliverance. You know what I'm going to say now, don't you? So the word salvation, to save, means to deliver. Do you need to be delivered from anything this evening? Yeah? He's the deliverer. He's come to deliver you. Okay? Are you in prison? Are you bound by anything? He's the deliverer. Hallelujah. Salvation means to be delivered. There's nothing too big for God, is there? So just bear that in mind. Deliverer. It means preservation. Well, the dictionary definition of preservation means being preserved. That's dynamic, isn't it? Being preserved from injury or destruction. It means a state of well-being. So this is a package. Ever had a job? They've given you a package, money, pension, conditions, holidays, a package. When you buy a computer, you get a package with it, don't you? Well, this is salvation package. It means deliverance. Part of your package of salvation is deliverance from anything and anybody. Amen? Amen. Anything. Deliverance. Preservation. He saves us from the enemy. Yeah, I know, but things happen to Christians. Well, the package is being preserved from injury or destruction, a state of well-being. That's good news. That's a good package. Got to make sure that we don't sell ourselves short of this package, eh? It's a bit bigger than you might think. It isn't just have your sins forgiven and go to church for the rest of your life and hopefully get to heaven. It's a bigger package than that. That's a good part of the package, but it's only part of the package. It means soundness. What does that mean? The dictionary definition of soundness is healthy. Praise God. Package, the salvation package is that you're healthy. Yeah, but I'm not healthy. Okay, get healthy then. How can I get healthy? Believe on Jesus. He bore your sickness as well as your sins in the body on the cross. By his stripes you're healed, aren't you? He heals all your diseases. One of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our healer. That's a covenant word for God's covenant people. Yeah, I know, but I've been prayed for. I'm still sick. Well, get healed. Start believing. It's easy for you to preach like that. You know, you come here for a couple of days, and then you're off. I tell you, I live by this. I've picked the baton up of healing again. I'm not going to let it go. Why? Because it's the word of God. It's part of the message. It's salvation. This is the word of God. We believe the word of God. So if you're not healed, start asking the Lord, well, I've been prayed for enough times. Well, receive it then. Either it's the word of God or it's not the word of God. We can't be selective in what we believe. Either we believe it or we don't believe it. Soundness. Healthy, not diseased or injured or rotten. Financially solid or safe. Got that one? Correct, logical, well-founded, valid. And it talks of being able to sleep with a deep, unbroken sleep, thorough. Not a lot missed there, is there? So if you're not sleeping very well tonight, tonight's the last night was the last night you have bad sleep. You're going to have bad sleep. Because part of the salvation package is that you sleep peacefully. And when you sleep well, it keeps you aware. When you don't sleep well, you're open to not being well. Sleep is important. God gives to his beloved sleep. Shall I just read that list again? Soundness, healthy, not diseased, not injured or rotten. Anybody going rotten tonight? Some people do go rotten, don't they? Their bones go rotten, their flesh go rotten. Their hearing goes rotten, their seeing goes rotten, their hearing goes rotten. Well, salvation deals with it. Financially solid or safe? Well, there we are. I'm not going to touch that. Well, that's a biggie, isn't it? But God's interested in your finances. Because finances, if you're in debt, you worry. And worry causes you to be anxious. Anxiety is bad for you, isn't it? Well, what are we going to do about it? Well, you can start by believing the word of God. But faith without works is dead. You've got to do everything you can do. And then what you can't do, you've got to believe that God can do. Does that sound? Well, what else does salvation mean? It means prosperity. What does that mean? Well, here's the definition. It means to succeed. It means to thrive. It means to be successful. Do you know what strikes me about this church? It's successful. It's thriving. But God doesn't just want the church to be successful and thriving. He wants every member of the church to be successful and thriving. He wants every member of the church to prosper. Yeah, but you don't know where we live. We live in Cleveland. I mean, there are no jobs. There's no money. The banks, you know, they're as tight as anything. Well, that's good, isn't it? Then you don't borrow any more. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that, should I? Because you need to borrow money at times. So you've got to believe God. You've got to live by faith. We've got to live by faith. 21st century. And the word of God says salvation means that his will is for us to prosper. All we've got to do is embrace this, change the way we think. Believe God. God's word is powerful and active, sharp than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It gets to places that we can't get to. Change your way of thinking. Think prosperity. Think success. You're part of a successful church. Well, God wants your families to be successful. He wants your children to be successful. He wants you to be successful in your business or in your job, doesn't he? He doesn't only want us to be successful. He wants us to thrive. I love that word. Superabundance. Think big. This is an English person speaking to an American audience. God has to have a laugh, doesn't he, really? Right, what's happening here? It means happiness. Demas Shakarian's book. Do you remember the title of Demas Shakarian's book? He wrote a book, Full Gospel Businessman's Guy. The Happiest People on Earth was the name of his book. That's us. No, I don't feel happy. I don't care what you feel like. You are. You need to be happy. You're saved. You've got God with you. And God's never going to leave you. You're going to heaven. I'm spelling out your package as a believer. Get happy. Believe it. Jesus said on the Beatitudes, blessed or happy are you. And some of the things he said, if men revile you and things like that, happy. You can still be happy. Joy, joy, it's joy, isn't it? It's there, it's deep, it's from the heart, it's from the spirit. I remember reading about, who is it? Richard Wurmbrand, tortured for his faith. You ever read that book? He was a Romanian pastor who was in prison for most of his life. And he writes that every night he would wait until everybody fell asleep and the guards fell asleep. And every night after midnight, at 1 o'clock in the morning, he would dance before the Lord with all his might, away from his family, scarred by the torture, but he would just enjoy the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah, that's God, isn't it? What did Paul and Silas do in the Philippian jail? Oh, why has God let this happen to me? Oh, why are we bleeding? Why have we been deprived of our freedom? Why, moan, groan, Why does it always happen to me? You've never said that, have you? What did they do? They sang songs at midnight. They prayed and sang songs at midnight. And what happened? It's dangerous to do this, you know. Yeah, an earthquake. Praise God. Breakthrough. Hey, breakthrough. We all need earthquakes. Hey, God sent an earthquake. Worship brings the presence, doesn't it? Happy. Happiness. Rescue. What from or whom from do we need rescuing? That's good, isn't it? What from? Salvation means to rescue. What from? Addictions, rejection, low self-esteem, failure, curses, fears, anything. Who? Rescue from who? Your enemies. Well, devil, yes. People. The fear of the Lord, the fear of people, the fear causes us to have to be snared. Do you know that? The fear of man causes a snare. I was trying to quote it. But it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, self-control. Hallelujah. This is the package. And then the last thing, just in case anything's missed, general well-being. Nothing's missed. Now, I don't think that Zacchaeus quite realized what was happening to him. But it started, hadn't it? So I don't know where you are this evening. But there might be. I tell you what, those of us that are Christians, we just need to rejoice and be thankful for this. And we also need to process it, don't we? Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me process the whole lot. I want the whole package. I don't want 99% of it. I want 100% of it for me. So if you're sick this evening, part of the package is that you're healed. So tell yourself that you're healed in Jesus' name. Now, whether you've got long-term sickness, serious sickness, lots of pain, or whether it's next to nothing, it doesn't matter. By his stripes, you're healed. He's done it. It is finished. He's done it. He's died. The blood's been shed. The price has been paid. Now stand, just as you've stand on that truth for your sins to be forgiven, and when you sin, you repent and God forgives you. Now stand on the truth of the fact that he's borne your sicknesses is on the body on the cross, and that by your stripes he's healed. Jesus healed the sick. There weren't many that he didn't heal. And he's here this evening by his spirit. And he's here to speak the word of healing to you. Deliverance. Man, such a big subject, isn't it? I'm not going through the list again. I'm just saying that word. He whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now just be set free as you know the truth. Let the truth set you free. Let salvation set you free. Because you're saved and you're being saved. Now be saved tonight from whatever is binding you, holding you. Even a reaction to what I'm saying, that's binding you. Be released from it in Jesus' name. Be released from an evil heart of unbelief. Allow the anointing, the oil, just to come and release you. Soften your heart. Be not anxious about anything, the word says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests made known to God. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, shall keep your hearts in the love of God. Peace, shalom, be still. I still storms this evening. In Jesus' name, I say peace. I rebuke the waves. I say peace, shalom, be at rest. If God's healed you tonight, stand up. Just stand up in faith. I am not having this sickness any longer. I'm healed. Just stand. That's faith. I'm telling you to stand up in faith. And even if you walk out of this building and you don't feel any better, you're still healed. Amen? I don't care. The Word of God says you're healed. Now believe it. Give thanks. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God doesn't tell lies. Hey? He doesn't torment us. He speaks the truth. God wants you to be healthy. Amen? God wants you to succeed. He wants you to prosper. He wants your finances to be sound. Amen? Something's going to change, isn't it? And you're going to change. You're going to do your bit. You're not going to give up. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We declare the victory in Jesus' name. We say your kingdom come. We say your will be done on earth now this evening as it is in heaven. I proclaim the kingdom of God. God's kingdom's here. That's it. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Fear, go. Fear of man, go. Fear of failure, go. Rejections, go. We speak to it. We address it. In Jesus' name, we say go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I tell you, I can see a wave coming through this meeting now. Now let the wave of the Holy Ghost just wash you clean. Just release you. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, in Jesus' name. Just let that wave, let it go through the whole building. Let it wash every life. Let the power of God be released. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let it refresh you. Let it wash away the dirt. Wash away the pressure. Renew your strength, your energy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody in a situation where they need rescuing, where they need preserving, where they're in danger, where somebody in their family is in danger, sickness from death? Now stand in Jesus' name. Come on. Salvation, rescue, preservation. We stand in it. We receive it in Jesus' name. We come against every situation, every circumstance that our brothers and sisters face this evening. In Jesus' name, we address them. We say Jesus is Lord. And we believe the word of God. We believe for deliverance. We believe for a release. Come on, heal, deliver, change the circumstances. Meet our children, Lord. Turn them around, we pray, in Jesus' name. Deliver them. Get them out of that mess. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have we got any Zacchaeus here? Zacchaeus is here this evening. Are you convinced? Have you received Jesus into your life? Has he come to you this evening? Well, you come out the front. It's not home, but come out the front. Just come and stand here. I'm not going to pray with you. I just want you to confess that tonight's your night, that today is the day of salvation for you, that Jesus has come into your house, into your life, and that you've received him joyfully. Just come and stand with me if there's anybody here this evening that's done that. Hallelujah. God is in the house. God is here. Jesus is here. Thank you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll confirm your word with signs and wonders. Just pray that your word will be powerful and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. Thank you that your word does not return unto you void, but accomplishes that which you set out for it to accomplish. Thank you that there's a harvest here, Lord. Thank you that the seeds will bear fruit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't we lift our hands up to heaven? We want to thank you, Lord, for our salvation tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you sought us out. And God, everything that we've lost, you're giving back. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise for that tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you saw us when we were hiding out in our own particular situation, our own tree. You saw us. And you called our name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On the way out tonight, here's what I want to ask you to do. You can give your tithe and offering at the door. But also, would you bless the man of God tonight with an offering? Put it in an envelope. Whatever the Lord tells you to give. But we want to be a blessing to him and his family. So be generous. But we thank you tonight for being so really responsive to the ministry and to the kingdom of God. And I was thinking as you were preaching, April 7th isn't yet here, but everything you and I will need in that day is already waiting on us. Your water that you'll drink, your place of rest, your food that will be served, your relationships of people that will encourage you, some spectacular supernatural thing that maybe you don't even know about is already in April 7th. You know why? Because your shepherd has already gone before you and he's leading you into paths to dwell in. You don't have a thing to be concerned about. God's got you covered. So be blessed tonight. I bless you in your body, and I bless you in your soul, and I bless you in your spirit. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. If you need prayer tonight, you can come and our altar ministers will be here. Have a wonderful evening. Please don't forget to be generous on your way out in the offering. God bless you.